talking about Legendary Friday. I'm talking about one of the best Fridays ever. Alvin, if it's legendary and one of the best ever, you might as well give me that deck of yeah. Something I should have done at the top of the program, which I did not. This show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So why is it an amazing day? Arash Markazi back in the jungle for the first time in years. It's Friday, so the flight deck and his gigantic dome are in the house. I've got Marcus Howard of Marquette joining me in about 10 seconds. The other amazing thing, the Good Brothers are here. They're in the house. Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows, WWE, tag team superstars, Baby Cash is in the house. They're all here, and they're ready to roll. And we'll have that for you next segment. Live in studio, banging telephone calls, talking wrestling, and more. As promised, we start this hour off, though, with a guard from Marquette. A six-time Big East Player of the Week. 36 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists in Tuesday's win over DePaul. 8 games of 30 or more this season, most among all players in major conferences. 1,744 career points at Marquette, 5th on the school's all-time list. Marquette's having a big year. 21-4 overall, 10-2 in the Big East. They're number 10 in both polls. And they're hosting Butler Wednesday night. In fact, that's right here on CBS Sports Network. Marcus Howard is my guest. Marcus, dude, that is quite a resume. Great to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you. How about yourself?
Good. I'm great. It's great to visit with you. You're coming off that win on Tuesday night. You had 36 in that 19-point win over DePaul. You guys won 10 of your last 11. Let me start right there. What is the mood and the vibe like around your team?
Oh, you know, it's been great. You know, anytime we can rack up wins like that, you know, it's really good for our program. You know, we've been really sticking to it, working hard each and every day. So, yeah, it's been a great atmosphere here at Marquette.
All right, I had your coach, Steve Wojciechowski, on the program earlier this season. We talked about what you mean to the program. What's it been like to play for Wojo?
Oh, it's been a great experience. You know, I've learned so much, you know, from my freshman year to now. Not just from a basketball standpoint, from being just a man standpoint, you know, I've learned so much off the court from him as well. So, you know, I'm super thankful and blessed, you know, to have a coach like I do, and as well as just great teammates around me as well.
Marcus Howard, my guest. Listen, one of the things I want to reiterate is in the conversation I had with him, it came up that the fact that basketball means so much to Marquette University, Marquette means so much to college basketball. I know you still have a lot of work to do this year, but knowing the history of that program, what's it mean to be in the top 10 in both polls right now?
Oh, I mean, it's great. You know, it's definitely a place we haven't been to in some time now. So, you know, to kind of be back in the conversation, you know, is really good for our program. I feel, you know, we're coming back on the rise, and it's only going to go up from here. So I think that's a great credit to Wojo and how he's built the program, the type of guys he's recruited. And, you know, just us as a team, you know, how we represented not only ourselves on the court, but in the community as well as a whole.
Now, Marcus, listening to you right now and having spoken to Wojo already, I've got an idea, a really good idea of how you're going to answer this question, but I need to ask it anyway. Your name is getting a lot of run for every National Player of the Year award. What's it like to hear that, and what would it mean to you to win?
You know, it means a lot, but I think it just means that I have great coaching staff and great teammates around me. You know, they're so selfless in terms of letting me do what I do on a nightly basis. And, you know, it's really been good for us to win games. And it would mean a lot to me. I know it would mean a lot to this program. You know, this program's given so much to me. And whether that's on the court or off the court, you know, I'm just really, really fortunate to be in the position I'm in.
Like I said, I had a pretty good idea how you would answer that question. Marcus Howard joining us. Now, you've had 8 games of 30 or more, including a pair of 45-point games. And then you had that record-breaking 53-point game against Creighton. When you get into a zone like that, what's that like? What's that feel like?
Oh, I mean, it's kind of like an out-of-body experience. You know, it's kind of like you don't even realize you're doing it. And, you know, after the game, you're kind of just collecting your thoughts and everything. And, you know, it's great that all those games have ended in wins. So it's definitely a better mood from everybody, you know, when games like that end in wins. So, It's a great really experience, you know, just to be able to have big scoring nights like that. But, yeah, the biggest thing is just coming off the win, and I'm happy that each and every game that's been really big for us and big for myself, that they've all ended in a W.
Marquette guard Marcus Howard, my guest. You know what's interesting is you've got this incredible game and presence on the court. Now, when you were growing up, you were always one of the tallest guys on the floor until you got to the 7th grade, and then you pretty much stopped growing at 5'11". initially, yep. when you're that young, how frustrating was that? And then how did you adjust your game to become as dominant as you are now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, growing up, you know, everyone thought I was going to be, you know, 6'8", and thought it was going to be over once I hit high school. But after seventh grade, you know, I just kind of stopped growing. But, you know, as that kind of went on, you know, it would be a little frustrating. But it came to a point in time where, you know, I just had to accept it. You know, I had to just find different ways to affect the game. And great credit to, you know, the people I've worked with, you know, my older brothers, Jordan and Desmond, then my coaches too, you know, really just helping me, you know, to put myself in good situations to where, you know, my size doesn't really affect me that much, that I'm still able to affect the game in different ways. So, yeah, you know, just in terms of just trying to, you know, solve that problem with though my height, you know, it's just been something another problem, you know, I like to solve is just, you know, try and find ways around it.
Marcus, I just want to confirm something. You're 19, right? You're not a 35-year-old dude who's been 10 years in the NBA. You're only 19,
no,
right?
Yeah, I'm 19 years old, yeah.
Just want to make sure. Okay, so the listeners know that. Now, you mentioned your brothers. You grew up in a really athletic family. Your parents were both athletes. Your yep. brother Jordan averaged 25 per game at Central Arkansas. Yep. Another brother, Desmond, also got after it on the court. What was it like to grow up in such an athletic family and household?
You know, it was great. Growing up, you know, I mean, there were a lot of battles and fights, you know. I would get beat up so much being the youngest. But, you know, in that time, you know, those two, you know, groomed me and helped me grow into the person I am today. So with that, I mean, I wouldn't be where I'm at if it weren't for my brothers and how they pushed me. And then, you know, my parents, you know, just sacrificing so much for me and my brothers to want to accomplish the things we wanted to is also the reason why we're at where we're at in life right now. But, yeah, you know, I wouldn't trade, you know, the way I grew up for anything. You know, I had a great home life in terms of, you know, always being competitive with my brothers. And, you know, we're still like that to this day. So, I mean, it's a great experience, you know, to be able to share that bond of basketball with people you love the most.
Right, so I can end this interview right now, and I'd be so impressed as is, but I want to make this point. In the offseason, you went to Costa Rica along with yep. some other student-athletes and the Courts for Kids program to build basketball courts. There are a lot of things that you could be doing in the offseason, working on your game, getting ready for your future in the NBA. Why was that trip something you wanted to do?
Yeah, I think that just goes back to what Marquette University represents, you know, being the difference. And, you know, I thought, you know, I knew that coming home and, you know, being able to work out was always going to be there. But, you know, I definitely wanted to, you know, try and make a difference the best way I could. And, you know, when the opportunity presented itself, you know, I jumped on board with it right away. You know, I thought it was great, you know, to be able to go to a different country, experience a different culture, and to be able to impact those people in a way that, you know, I probably wouldn't have had the same opportunity here in the States. So, you know, being able to experience that with, you know, 15, 16 other student athletes. It was unbelievable. I mean, to be able to, you know, build a basketball court out there, you know, get to experience their culture and what it's like to live there. It was an amazing experience. It's definitely, you know, as I've gone through life, you know, it's definitely probably one of the most memorable experiences I've ever had.
We're talking to Marcus Howard again, just 19. But to be fair, Marcus, you are turning 20 next month. So yeah. Let's be transparent about that. Listen, the other thing is, what's amazing is it sounds like you've got this. You've got this. You've got this all under control. Something I really respect about you and your game is the fact that you are open and you're honest when you talk about certain tough issues. As an example, there is a lot of pressure on college athletes, especially somebody in your position. How do you go about dealing with that pressure, handling it?
Yeah, I mean, that just, I think, goes back to, you know, the people I have around me. You know, you can never do anything in this life alone. And, you know, I'm really fortunate to have great people around me, not only just my family, but, you know, people here at Marquette, you know, from our academic staff to our administration to, you know, faculty, you know, everybody in athletics. I mean, we're just like a one big family. So, you know, whenever someone's going through something, I mean, we're really comfortable in terms of, you know, just sharing how we're feeling and being able to, you know, be open about things that we're dealing with. And, you know, us as student athletes too, I mean, in this community as a whole, we're all able to, you know, help each other out when we're going through something. So I think it's really cool.
I think finally a lot of 19-year-olds would be looking to other people, looking to emulate others, looking to others as role models. I think you have the sense that there are people looking at you. What's it like to feel or to know that you're already a role model at that age and people are looking up to you and following you?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like an eye-opening experience, you know, like you said. I mean, people our age are kind of looking up to people, but for people to be in that situation with me, it's definitely something different, you know. But, you know, as a person, as a man, you know, I try to, you know, represent myself, my family, my school the best way I can on and off the court. So, you know, trying to be the best influence for others, you know, especially kids that are younger than me growing up, wanting to be basketball players, I just try to, you know, do things the right way, whether that's playing the right way, whether that's acting the right way. You know, I just try to, you know, make sure I'm making my family proud.
Marcus Howard joining us. Marquette guard. One of the best things I could say about you is you make it look easy. You make it sound easy, and it's not. None of it is. There's nothing easy about this. A six-time Big East Player of the Week. Marcus, really nice to have you on the show. Great to visit with you. Good luck. Hope we can do it again soon.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Appreciate you. Really well done. Marquette is at home against Butler on Wednesday. That game is right here on CBS Sports Network, 9 p.m. Eastern. If you have not seen him play and you want to see him play, my man's too good to be true. He's 19. 19. Never mind 19 and showing up on the show and doing that interview. 19 and carrying himself like that everywhere he goes, on and off the floor. Extremely impressive. All right, so we are going to take a short time out. When we come back, the moment that everybody in this house has been waiting for, a lot of you clones have been waiting for, and one idiot, that's harsh, I don't want to say that about a clone, somebody who's loyal to the program, but one guy hit Carl this morning on Twitter with, like, you know, man, golf is whack and golf is boring, but at least it's a sport. It's not fake. Like, hey, Rome, get control of your show. And then Carl hit this guy with, like, yeah, 41 followers. Okay. We're good. We're good. More of that, I'm sure. The Good Brothers are in the house. WWE tag team superstars, Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows. Hit us up right now. If you want to talk to these guys, let me line some telephone calls up. I've got things that I want to talk to them about, but we'll go two segments. They're that good. Set it up. Toll free. 1-800-636-8686. You got to get through Hawk to get to them. That's not hard. Hawk's not that bright. But understand, there is that buffer. You get through them to get to the Good Brothers. That's coming up next. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. You bros are on. Welcome back. I've been waiting on this for a long, long time. Finally. Finally, we're getting this done. We are joined right now in-house, in studio, by a couple of WWE superstars. They are the Good Brothers, three-time IWGP Tag Team Champions. They won Raw's Tag Team Championship at the Royal Rumble 2017. Host of Botch Club, which aired as a special on WWE Network. To my left, Good Brother number one, Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows. They are both in-house. We are banging telephone calls. We have a lot to talk about. Brothers, I cannot tell you how happy I am to see you guys.
Romy, let me just feel this for a second. In the Jungle Live, I got to tell you, though, I'm a four-time IWGP Tag Team Champion. I had to give him three because I won one before.
Oh, dude, my bad. My bad. My bad.
Hey, my father said, Carl, when you became a big star in Japan, I thought you made it. When you debuted at the Staples Center for the WWE to a massive reaction, I thought you made it. When you bought your mansion in Tampa, I thought you made it. And I said, I did, Dad. He goes, but now that you're walking into the jungle with Jim Rome, son, you've made it. I might have a tear in my eyes. Oh, my dad's, dude, a real clone. He doesn't have a job, sits in front of the radio and listens for
He's
all
a real
hours.
Clone.
He's a real clone,
dude. If you're getting dusty up in here off an introduction, I know it's tough. Hey, never mind your dad. Did you really bring your mom to a tour stop?
Oh, hold on. I got it right here, Good Brother. Look at that. My mom had a keepsake, babe. I'll never forget it.
This is incredible. Tour stop. Okay, if you're watching on CBS Sports Network, tour stop number 30, the Cintas Center in the Natty, May 10th, 2003. Bro, you're famous and you're rich. Why did you keep that?
My mom has it. Mine is somewhere. Who knows where it is? But you know how mothers.
Here, hot car, you know how mothers. That yours.
Yeah, you know. I would have kept it, of course. I'm sure I have it somewhere. But my mother, man, she's the. You know how they are. Mothers are always.
I know how they are. Of course. You know, she brought you into this world, man. She can do whatever she wants.
I said, Mom, remember when we went to the tour stop? She goes, I still have that thing somewhere. I said, you got to bring it, baby.
All right, so Luke, you're along here too. I got to ask you guys. First of all, did you guys get your brother pump in before the show?
Morning, brother pump. Sweat out the hate. Get rid of the demons and get ready to roam it up, Good Brother.
Because if you're a real brother, you
got a little hate.
You have a little red wine the night before. You got to get rid of it.
I was going to say, what kind of hate? What kind of hate are you looking to get out?
Everything.
The red wine, or is there more?
We had a little vino in us last night.
Okay. Valentine's Day, a
couple
brother.
Beer skis, you know how it goes.
Hot Asian wife bought two bottles of wine for the boy.
I took them out for Valentine's dinner with baby Cash. We had a big time.
So where did you guys go?
We tried to get around. A couple of Ubers took us to a couple of wrong places. One of the sushi places, the reservations, we had to have a reservation. We stormed out. So you know what we did? Uber Eats and ate at the hotel. But we had our vino, baby, so we were good.
Oh, man. Welcome to SoCal. Okay, wait a minute. If you guys got your brother pump in, did you get your brother tan in?
Look at me. Look at me, Roman. They asked us if I needed makeup.
We had to refuse the makeup.
They asked us if I needed makeup.
Do I look
laughing,
like I need
brother.
Makeup?
One time we were in Japan, and Gallows looked at me and goes, we had ourselves a couple beverages, and he goes, hey, man, we got to talk about getting that Botox, man, because you're starting to get the crow's feet. And I said, what in the hell are you talking about?
I said, let me get some cocoa butter on that face of yours. We can't age. We're going to wrestle forever.
I'm not going to show up next tour like this.
Look good, feel good. You guys aren't worried about getting your pump, and you're worried about getting your needles in your face. Now, you're in L.A., man. You're in SoCal.
Brother.
They can do it. Here's now is the place to do it.
Let's get it in before the wedding. I was tempted
for a spray ski, then I realized I had a white shirt to wear today, and I went, well, I can't show up sweating Tanner on the Rome show.
Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows. Listen, phone lines are wide open, 1-800-636-8686. Guys, lay it out, this notion of good brother. What's it mean to be a good brother, and what is the good brother life all about?
Gallows.
Good brother is a term that, I don't know, I probably started saying it about 10 years ago and just kind of picked up in our industry, and it just means that's a good dude. That's a guy you want to hang out with. That's a guy you want to crack a beer with. And he's one of the boys.
He don't stooge on nobody.
He won't stooge on you. Steve Austin.
He won't tell on you for doing things you shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, you know, if you're a single brother and you're cruising the ways, you know.
Snitches
you need
get stitches. He won't stooge on you, right?
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. It's a term of endearment.
Okay.
Yeah. And Gallows, he's been single now for 2 years. I didn't realize that a human being could go on a run like this. my hot Asian wife's out here, and she loves Gallows, but she kind of hates him.
Yeah, there's some hate in there, too. But you know.
Because he's bringing you down to that level, right?
Wait, no, of course not.
Of course not, dude.
I'm a straight brother, baby.
You're a good brother. You're a good father and a good brother.
Of course.
The Valentine's dinner with all three of us, not just them.
How'd that go? Yeah, the third wheel.
It didn't turn out so well.
Yeah, I'm still not sure how she felt about it, but we'll get there.
All right, Carl, so how did you first get into wrestling? And when you were coming up, who were your guys that you really looked up to and admired?
4 years old, 5 years old, TBS is Superstation. Nature Boy Ric Flair is on the TV cutting a promo. I looked at my dad. I looked at my mom. I said, what is this?
Right.
I saw the Four Horsemen, Sting, Lex Luger. I was NWA, WCW, because I grew up in North Carolina. And it was the only thing I wanted to do. Then MTV came on, True Life, I want to be a pro wrestler. And it showed they had a wrestling school in Cincinnati. And I said, there's wrestling schools? Mom,
my God.
I'm sorry, but I'm quitting college and quitting playing baseball in college, and I'm moving to Cincinnati.
Dude, how did that talk go?
She literally looked at me and goes, do whatever you want, son.
That's the
mom that I took to the tour stop.
Okay.
I quit college, moved to Cincinnati. Thank God it paid off, and I'm with the WWE
now. That's incredible. Well, you were playing baseball in college.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Uh-huh. Mars Hill College, D2 school.
Okay.
That makes mom a good sister, by the way.
That's what we say. Yeah.
She's a good sister.
Mom's a good sister because she was feeding me drinks at the tour stop.
Dude, she's the best sister.
The greatest.
Maybe the greatest sister.
Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows in studio. So, Luke, what about you? When did you first get into wrestling?
Man, 8 years old. I saw Jake the Snake Roberts hit the DDT and drop that 12-foot python on a little jabroni on WWE Superstars. And I did the same thing. Dad, what is this? And he goes, no. No. So for me, it was like an obsession, and I played Division II college football.
Okay.
But a good little short story. I'm wearing a mask. I'm taping up the little tattoo that I have, and I'm secretly wrestling on the weekends. Car lots,
malls,
county fairs, whatever. Well, I had a stooge.
While playing football. You're in college. You're playing football.
I'm playing in the NCAA. But an unbrotherly brother on the football team stooged.
He told on him, yeah.
He told on him.
That's not a good brother, Romy.
That's the worst.
Yeah. I'm in Clarksburg, West Virginia, having a hell of a battle royal.
Like, well, what did that guy get
in the town?
Why is that
town
guy
mall?
Yeah. He's just, yeah.
Nothing.
He's a stooge.
He's a stooge. And I look out, and what do I see? The head coach of the Fairmont State Falcons like this.
Oh, wow.
And I went, oh, boy. So I got thrown out of the ring, and I ran to my car, and I drove back to the dorm, and I got a call at 7 a.m. We need you in the office. And I came in, and I was going to secretly go to North Carolina that weekend and wrestle without my mask. So I was very excited. I had the little bit of hair that I had bleached white. I had the brother tan. I was ready to go. They called me in and go, we know about the wrestling. And I go, what do you guys mean?
What wrestling?
I saw the masked
assassin.
I saw the masked assassin.
I didn't see me. Prove it. Show me a picture.
So he goes, you need to decide if you want to be Dusty Rhodes or contribute to this football team. I go, I want to be Dusty Rhodes.
I just fell out of my mouth.
I'm out of here.
Dude, he gave you an ultimatum?
He did.
It's wrestling or football?
It's wrestling or football. So he goes, you have a week to think about it. I go, I'm done. I had a great brother week.
I just took 10 seconds. I'm good.
Cruising into my wrestling career. I've made about $20 wrestling so far. Then I had to call home and tell Big Dale Hankinson.
Dude, hey, don't blow up. That's really important. So I mean, it's one thing to tell the coach you're not going to wrestle. You have to tell the family you're not going to wrestle. And I guarantee if your old man was like my old man, he probably said, how much are you making?
Well, yeah, that's what he said. He goes, you make no money at this. And then for a man, spur of the moment, to put together a string of expletives like he did and still support me all these years later, it was amazing because, I mean, he went ham on me, as they say.
Of course.
He did go ham on you. All right, so, guys, whenever I have UFC guys on, we always talk about what it was like in the early days. I mean, easy to look at the UFC right now and see how these guys are killing it, and we could talk about what they make or what they don't make. But the early days, man, the stories were crazy. Oh, yeah. When you guys were coming up in the early days, what was it like?
You know, I think the first
story or two.
I think the first 2 or 3 years, it was it was obviously free. At the most, I got paid $5 in Georgetown, Kentucky. You know, I trained with Roger Ruffin in the Northern Wrestling Federation in Cincinnati, and I can still remember wrestling at Bone Crushers, baby, where there's sellout is 50. Yeah. I'll never forget wrestling in front of 8. And I was the main event. And I remember thinking, I wonder if they didn't come because of me.
Right.
And then driving to Georgetown, Kentucky, which is an hour and a half down from Cincinnati, getting $5 there, come back up to the Madison Theater in Covington, Kentucky on Mondays, get maybe $5 there. Next weekend, Friday in Wilmington, Ohio, maybe $10 there. Fairfield, Ohio, maybe $25.
Bro,
if
so
I
what
hit
kept
it right.
you going? I mean, did you think I'm going to be a legend one day? It's going to pay off, or did you just love doing it? Like,
you know, I always had a confidence in myself that it'd pay off. I felt like you've got to believe in yourself, and it's the only thing that I truly wanted to do.
Right. And so, like, Luke, what about you? When did you start thinking, man, I could make a living doing this, good living?
I knew. I had blinders on. I had to get in there somehow. I remember driving 10 hours to the very top of the Northeast and then going, all right, man, you can eat McDoubles and McChickens or you can pay your tolls. I'm running the tolls.
For real?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we did. And
those were the choices you had to make back in the day.
It paid off pretty quick. You know, I was 3 years in when I got my first deal, and I've been doing it full-time ever since. I was 21 then, so now here we are 14 years later.
Uh-huh. I remember map questing from Fairfield, Ohio
printing the directions.
To South right. Dakota. It's 15 hours. Drove there, wrestled at a casino. There was 8 people in this casino.
A 15-hour drive for that.
I got $50, and he didn't pay us for the gas.
What a payday.
Dude.
And I had to call in to work. I was working with mentally handicapped people at WeCare Homes to pay the bills 5 days a week. I had to call in and say, I'm sorry, but my tire blew out. And I'm not going to be able to make it to work. Oh, come on, man. What are you doing? Yeah. I'm sorry. You know where I wrestle. And I'm lying.
Right.
So that I can make this $50 and then drive back home.
For 15 hours. Like, what kind of a car were you driving back then?
No, somebody else drove. It was probably 5 of us in the car. Ryan Stone.
10 of you.
Of course, his name was Ryan Stone. Pompano Joe. Jesse Hyde.
Pompano Joe.
And Chad Tubad Allegra.
All good brothers.
All good brothers.
Some real brother shit going on.
So like when you guys ended up in Japan, right? So you're part of a deal of the NJPW for a while before you come back to the States. Man, what was it like to work and live and wrestle in Japan?
You know, man, I was there for 8 years. When I first signed that contract in 2008, man, it was the coolest thing that ever happened. It was the first time that I started getting paid. So I did it from 2002 until 2000.
Give me an idea. I hate being a bag, but like you went from $5, $10, $15.
I went from probably $5,000 in the 2007 to making probably $55,000 in 2008. And that was like I just struck gold.
Uh-huh.
Then each year the contract got better. And by the end we were pulling some bank.
And what were the fans like? What was the wrestling like there?
It's still the same thing. Good guy versus bad guy. It's still telling a story, but there's nothing like competing in Japan. Wrestling in Tokyo or in Osaka or Sapporo or Fukuoka or Nagoya, all those towns that we hit, those people believe, man, and they love the sport of professional wrestling.
They don't know it's fake. They don't know that.
Allegedly. scripted entertainment, right?
Like, That's it, of course, dude.
I got a great story about that. Finn Balor's a big star now. And this is when the Bullet Club was running hot.
Yeah.
And he was our quote-unquote leader. And we're waiting in the lobby for somebody else, Tama Tonga, to come downstairs. And Finn is Irish. And he goes, why am I always down here waiting for everybody? I'm the leader. I'm the leader. And I said,
tell him what you said.
I said, whoa, Finn. Pipe it down, man. You know that Morgan Freeman wasn't actually God in Bruce Almighty, right? this is scripted entertainment, baby. This is a television show. He goes, huh? And he stormed out.
Fake is such a funny word when it comes to what we do because you're moronic to think the big boot and the leg drop really pinned somebody. But on the other hand, I was saying in the car on the way over here, I wish all the things that we've heard about ourselves for all these years were true. Like, I wish there were fake chairs.
Lay it out for me.
I wish the ring felt like a trampoline. I wish all of those things because I would feel so much better. But it's funny because the WWE has cleaned up the business so much. Like, when we first broke in 15, 16, 17 years ago, if you took a chair shot to the head and put your hands up, you were considered not a man.
Right.
So we're standing there for $20 just getting our El Cabonged. And now the headshots are out of there. The drug testing policy is so it's the most advanced one in sports that I know of. So they really cleaned it up, and they take a lot better care of the guys than
the concussion protocol.
Than 20 years ago, it's a lot different. So
like how much give is there in that ring? I mean, what's that ring feel like?
But my wife got – I was telling you, I took about a month off when we signed with WWE before we started up, and I went back – I went down to the Performance Center in Orlando, and I took one bump. I took one fall just to feel, and I got up.
Yeah, right.
And I shook it off, but I almost – I lost everything. I couldn't feel it for a second. My wife got in the ring and she goes, "I didn't realize it was so hard." Huh. And she was with Diva and around, walking around. But that thing, there's not much give, Good Brother Romy.
Well, if you guys in the jungle want to experience it, come to the Good Brothers Dojo Professional Wrestling School, owned and operated by me in Jenkinsburg, Georgia. Cheap plug.
No. Do it again. Where and when? How can they do that?
Good Brothers Dojo. GoodBrothersDojo@gmail.com. We are a fantastic professional wrestling school located just south of Atlanta, Georgia. I show up once a week, but I got a full staff of trainers, students. It feeds into our wrestling promotion, so come and join us.
Really?
You want to hear some more?
He also put his son to work called Brush Boy, by the way.
I didn't put him to work. He volunteered.
How'd that go?
Well, he created a character. He came in. He got a ring jacket, and he said, "I got better hair than you. This is what I'm going to do." And I said,
"Family business."
All right, 11-year-old son, here we go.
Really quickly, I mean, dude, you played college football. You tell me, how does it compare in terms of physicality and the way you felt after a game as compared to how you feel after a show?
I respect the hell out of guys who play football at a high level because I know how that felt. I think the difference with us is the grind because we're on the road so much. You know, we're a live event touring media-based company, but we're out there 200 nights a year doing this and feeling it and then getting in the car and driving 3-4 hours and it's a grind. There's no offseason.
The only brother who's more comfortable than you two guys is Baby Cash.
I gotta be
in a minute. Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna take a short time out right now. Where are the guests who can carry into a second segment, but the Good Brothers can? If you've got a question for or a comment for them, hit us up right now. It's toll free, 1-800-636-8686. Man, don't be an idiot. You gotta get through Hawk. What about Hawk? You believe this guy?
What is Hawk?
Hawk is a
give it to him.
Bad brother? The nerd blast is out. He is too, dude. All right, when we come back, telephone calls for the Good Brothers, maybe Baby Cash's jungle debut. But first up, I got a sports update for you. Here is the latest. Jay Berman's.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Unbelievable day. The Good Brothers not only coming in here and living up to the hype, but smashing the hype. Carrying a second segment, Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows. They are WWE Tag Team Superstars. And we are banging telephone calls, 1-800-636-8686. One really quick thing. Carl, dude, you are a fan of the 911 library calls, aren't you?
Brother,
Do you have a favorite one?
I've got a lot of favorite ones, but I think my number one, I love the one where the operator falls asleep, of course.
Right, of course.
This person is expressing an emergency, and you can hear the brother snoring on the other line, right?
That's not a good brother. That's a dead brother. That's a drunk brother.
That's a very dead brother.
That's a very over-brothered brother.
But nothing's better than this one. I was about to explain what it is to him, but he needs to hear it live. It's obviously Forbes, man. Like this guy is my favorite.
Hold up. Roll Forbes. Luke has not heard this. Roll
911, what is your emergency?
Yes, I need a police officer over here.
What's going on?
I've got two teenage daughters, and I just got home from work. They were physically fighting with each other, and one of them kicked a hole in a door. And they're 12 and almost 14, and the 12-year-old is completely out of control. And I physically, if she's as big as I am, I can't control her.
Okay, did you want us to come over to shoot her? Are you there?
Excuse me?
That's a joke. Okay.
Who are you? What's your name?
Mike Forbes.
Okay, that's not funny, Ryan.
Listen to her turn him inside out.
I'm going to file a formal complaint.
I don't blame you a bit.
Because you know what? This is really not very funny.
Yeah, it is.
It's hilarious.
It's not going to be very funny when I go in front of your supervisor and tell him.
I understand.
Actually, it's really funny. Forbes is a legend.
Yes, he can. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Well, sorry doesn't check it. I need a police officer.
Hold on.
Yeah, you hear this? Hold on. My whole thing was like, she's got no control of her kids. They're too big. They're too strong. They're fighting. She's got no, you're 12, no control of her life. But the second he said, you wanted to come over and shoot him? Oh, she got control then, boy.
She took it quickly then.
She got control then.
Shooter.
I feel like at the end, too, he was saying, hold on. He was going to answer another call.
I'll get right back to you.
Hang on a second.
Good brother. Forbes is the best brother.
You want us to come over there and shoot her?
All right. So what's going on here is the good brothers are here. We've got this unbelievable tag team superstar team right here, and that motivated these two guys. Canada's best tag team. Let's go there. Now, Luke, I don't know if you know these guys. I know Carl does. We go to Team Canada.
Let's get Team Canada.
Let's find out. Matt and Tyler with a tag team call. Brothers, what's up?
Well. Isn't that a cute little tandem you brought in today? A couple XFL draft prospects or what? What do you think, Matt? Which one of these guys will be going first overall to the Orlando Rage?
Definitely.
Hell, I don't know, Tyler. The Orlando Rage might be a little lofty, man. I actually had to Google these cats, but I guarantee they know who we are. You guys think you can come into our house, the house that Canada built? You know, don't get too excited about Hawk fanboying over you guys either, right? This guy ain't exactly Vince McMahon. Hawk certainly isn't Vince McMahon, man. He's way more similar to the, it's still real to me, damn it, loser. Hell, even Vince knows Team Canada wears the tag team straps in this house. You guys want them, come get them, good bros. Your ring or ours. Matt, you know, these guys call themselves the Good Brothers. I don't know, man. I don't even think these guys would get through the Wood Brothers.
Brothers? No. Why are you going to come in and try disrespect like that? I guess those two bros want to make sure that you guys know that it's still their house.
Oh, I feel like, can I be the one that...
Go ahead and do what you got to do.
I was the one that ran that one, thank God. That was starting to... I feel like... They gave it a good shot, absolutely reading that.
You guys can't carry a promo, but if you want to step in the ring for real, Jenkinsburg, Georgia, Good Brothers Dojo, I'll waive the fee. Let's do this, brothers. Team Canada versus the boys.
Oh, if you're going to bring a take, you can't write it on notepad and read back and forth. Your turn. Yeah. It's your turn.
I wish we had a teleprompter.
If you had a teleprompter like we have never used before, you guys could have done a lot better.
Wow, man, so you'd waive the fee.
Absolutely.
You'd waive the fee.
Let's do it.
Yeah, kind of weird. I'm not sure why those guys are coming in with that kind of hate. What's that all about, Hawk? Hawk, did you not screen that out? Or were you just brushing on your porn stash? Come
that's
on, man.
Okay. That's the guy. That wasn't even hate in our world. That was.
Oh, no, that was great.
That was fine.
Just
was...
a couple of, I don't mind dropping it again. Well, should I?
Hit it.
Nerds!
All right, back at it. Let's go to the Natty. Harper in Cincinnati. Harper, what's up? You're on with the Good Brothers.
You guys are too sweet.
Good Brother Harper. Throwing it up for you.
How old is that kid? Is there a dad? That's Harper's son. Harper, are you there?
Yes.
What's up, Good Brother Harper?
Yeah, he's sick.
Oh, he's a little B.I.T., a brother in training. I can already tell. I love it.
I got a sneaky feeling I know who Harper is. I think he might be a friend of the family.
I like that, too. Speaking of a B.I.T., can we get the B.I.T. in here?
So, Cash, BIT, right?
I've seen this little star on Twitter. I've seen him on social. Here he comes.
He's going to be on WrestleMania someday.
Carl, who is the B.I.T.?
Look at this brother in training. Look at baby Cash. Hi, baby Cash.
What a handsome little hoot.
Awesome.
You said had a good brother, Romy? Look, come here, hot Asian wife. Honestly, you ain't sneaking out of here yet.
Can she speak English today or no?
No, hold on. Can you talk today, baby?
Yes, I can.
Oh! Here we go.
She's a lot quieter on air. I love it.
I'm not going to refer to her the way you do. You have a name, right? It's not hot Asian wife.
It's Christine.
Hi, Christine. How are you?
Hi, Jen, how are you?
Look at Cash.
Look at that. What a brother.
Show him how strong he is.
You want to show how strong you are, baby?
Let's see it.
Look at that.
Wow, man.
Look at that smile. Look at that little brother smile. He flew here 5 hours last night. Great on the
plane. How'd that go?
He's incredible. It's ridiculous.
You didn't stick a device in his hand like I did my kids when they were... I don't think my kids got on a plane until they were 14. I was too paranoid.
Yeah, no, I am too.
5 hours.
She flew with all four a couple weeks ago.
Dude. No way. By yourself.
Yeah. She's pretty strong.
No help. By yourself.
She's pretty strong to deal with a brother like myself.
Wow. And then the brother in training. Look at the way he's looking at dad, too.
What's up, baby boy?
He's like, dad's the coolest.
You know daddy's cool.
Dude, he has not made a sound since he got here.
Yeah, you see daddy in his skinny jeans and jean jacket. No, he's cool. Huh? You know daddy's a brother. You want to go back to mommy?
That is awesome. Baby Cash. Your world, baby Cash. He is so great. Dude, you dudes, I mean, this is like real. This is not an act. This is not a show. This is not scripted. You bros have a real affinity and respect for each other.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's my brother.
We got massive love for each other. We ride together. We eat together. We brother pump together. We wrestle together. We do it all. Drink the blood.
The first time we ever hung out was in Osaka, Japan. We had somebody take us out. We'd never hung out before. We sat there. We drank a bunch of soda pops together. And we literally solved all the world's problems.
Yeah, both Sapporos or soda pops?
Sapporos.
Yeah, right? Okay.
And soda pops.
And then you knew.
We had the stepbrothers moment. Did we just become best friends?
I think so.
We did. Let's do karate in the garage.
All right, let's check it out really quickly on Twitter. Let's do karate in the garage. Hooligan Hour tweets, this is already the greatest Jim Rome segment of all time.
Give
Hashtag
it to us.
Hashtag good brothers. Jake in Buffalo. Jim, being a good brother definitely means not tattling. Thanks, Lyle and Eric.
There you go.
That's right, Lyle and Eric. Couple brothers.
A couple of brothers who shotgun their parents.
Who tell, yeah.
Those are not good brothers,
not
dude.
Good brothers.
Those are murdering. Those are murdering brothers. Those are the Menendez brothers, bro. Those are not good brothers.
He doesn't Menendez know the show,
brothers.
Homie.
He doesn't know the show. We're talking about the Menendez brothers, not the good brothers. The murdering brothers. Stucknuts in.
There
so, will Carl Anderson declare for Smack Off 25?
Oh, boy. I remember one time when Silk called in years ago and said, hey, I'm not going to call in for the Smack Off, Romy. You know, I've laid my ground. Like, I'm Silk. I'm not going to call in. He hung up, and you said, oh, no, Silk. You're going to be in.
Right.
You're going to be in the Smack Off. If good brother Romy tells you to call into the Smack Off, then I guess I got
to
be it.
I'm not going to say it. I mean, it's up to you. I mean, we would love to have you, but you think about that.
Count me in.
All right. Oh, the good brother's in. God. The good brother's in. All right, so now you guys have been through a lot of stuff together. Like, if I were to say to you, Luke, what's the most embarrassing thing you've ever seen happen to the good brother? Because there's stuff happens, man, right?
Yeah,
he's had some moments. We covered it in Botch Club, so when I embarrass him, he can always one-up me.
Sure.
I don't know what the maneuver was that he took.
Years and years
ago. Yeah, but that'll happen, though, man, if you get stomped in the stomach, right?
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
I went, oh, no, man, I just did this. I whispered to the guy that was wrestling, and he goes, I can smell it. I said, well, me too. Anyways, can we get out of here?
Way to analyze that. You want to keep going?
Yeah. No. I don't think there's any further analysis necessary.
Can
all
you
right,
pin
so
me and get out
part
of here?
The deal, though, you can say what happened to him.
Well, what happened on Botch Club, there's so many things that happened to him. This is my This one happened in Venice at the Gold's Gym when we flew in, we landed, we went to get a little brother pump in. Well, big man hits his head all the time, right? 6'6", 6'7", whatever
sure.
It is. So he whacks his head all the time. Well, the back of our SUV is open.
Which Carl loves.
And I just hear this. Wham! I hear explicities or
expletives.
There you go. Yeah, I just see him screaming around, and me and AJ Styles are laughing, and we're trying to keep it down because I don't like to laugh in his face too much because he gets really mad at that moment. He runs over, he goes, "Stupid car!" He kicks the car as hard as he can. Wham! Falls right over his luggage because the car kicks back, brother.
Oh, dude, it's getting worse.
I saw him roll down. He's laid on the ground. He just went.
Wow.
That's just one of the things.
One time years
still
ago.
Still not as bad as crapping yourself.
No, no.
One time.
I win.
You win. Yeah.
You got about 60, man.
We first got on the road and, you know, we weren't making big money yet or anything. It was like my first 6 months of having a contract and there were a bunch of us and we ate somewhere, left the car open. Someone stole my wrestling gear out of the car.
Wow.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm pretty raged out about it because I have to wrestle tomorrow. I don't have my trunks and my boots and all that. And I back up and deliver a hell of a kick to the car, and then everybody starts laughing in my face and goes, you don't want to pay to fix the rental car, so you just work kick the car. I gave the car a fake kick.
Bro, you got to stop trying to fight cars, man. You really should stop fighting cars.
0-2, man.
Good brothers, Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows, WWE Tag Team Superstars. Fellas, you're in Cali, so where are you going to be? We've got about 60 seconds. If the clones want to check you out, where should they go?
You know, WrestleMania.
Oh, baby.
MetLife Stadium.
30 seconds.
New Jersey,
okay.
Right?
New Jersey. Come and see the boys.
If they want to hit you on social,
Carl
quickly.
Anderson, WWE, Instagram, and Twitter.
At Luke Gallows, WWE. Hit us up. We love it.
Fellas, it was amazing. So
thanks,
good to
Romy.
See you guys. Love you guys. Really appreciate the support. We will do it again.
Love you, good brother.
Brother
good to meet the family.
10 for Jim Rome. Thank you.
Good job, good brothers. Everybody hit the good brothers up on social. We'll come back. Hour number 3 is next.